Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
I'm glad I got a response out of that. You're supposed to say, He is risen indeed. Let's do that again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
It's still Easter. We're still celebrating Easter when we encounter the reality of our redemption, which Jesus won for us on the cross. The pains which he endured, our salvation have procured, as one Easter hymn puts it, but this time I'll let you figure out which one. Our second reading reminds us why we're still celebrating. Christ himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that, free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. By his wounds, you have been healed. His death was not a defeat, but rather he defeated death by his own death, and he is our triumphant victor, ruler, Lord, and Redeemer. As one theologian puts it, Jesus' resurrection from the dead isn't something that you can just, you know, kind of take it or leave it. But no, it happened, therefore it matters. It means something for us. It means that Jesus is who he says he is and that everything he said about himself is true. For example, when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus reveals that he is divine, of one substance with God the Father, and that he is the only way to the Father, and therefore to the kingdom of heaven. And it is in this context of still celebrating Christ's resurrection that we are to see Jesus as he reveals himself in the gospel today, as the good shepherd and the gate for the sheep. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He offers us everlasting, infinite life. And because of his resurrection, we are compelled to place our faith in him. And we trust that he will give us that gift, everlasting life, life forever. But accepting the reality that Jesus truly is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep requires an act of submission on our part. We have to acknowledge that since he's the shepherd, we are the sheep. Again, the second reading reminds us, "For you had gone astray like sheep." Okay, quick parenthesis here. Just by a show of hands, do any of you have sheep or have worked with sheep before? I see a few hands. Yes. Then you probably know this all too well. Are sheep smart? First answer over here. They sure don't seem like it. If one goes off a cliff, there's a pretty high chance that the others will just follow that one. They have a very, very strong flock mentality. And also when they feel threatened, usually their fear gets the best of them and they don't think logically. But what's at the root of these seemingly unintelligent behaviors? It's the reality that the sheep are very, very dependent on their shepherd. Wherever their shepherd leads, they feel a very strong instinct to follow. And this is not a demeaning attribute of the sheep or a reflection on their intelligence. It's actually, paradoxically, a prudent and sound example for us to imitate. Sheep have very little strength to defend against predators, precisely because they enjoy the shepherd's strength and protection. Sheep don't really worry about the direction that they're traveling in because they enjoy the leadership of the shepherd. And this radical dependence on the shepherd, this trait is why Jesus chose this image to refer to himself and what our relationship with him ought to look like. But there's certainly an interior tension that goes on in us when we consider imitating the sheep in submission to the shepherd. And this is why it's more difficult for us than it is for sheep to realize that we need to submit to our shepherd. We have something that the sheep don't have. We have rational souls and free will. We have the ability to make decisions freely, and therefore we face a decision. Am I going to accept the reality that Jesus is the shepherd and I'm not? Or am I going to try to figure it out on my own and turn my own way? And this decision could really be applied to any area of our lives. For example, is Jesus the shepherd that I submit to in the area of my finances? Is Jesus the shepherd I submit to in the area of participation in society by serving others? In the area of trying to live the moral standards that he sets? In the area of forming my conscience according to him and not left to my own devices? We face this decision in multiple parts of our lives, and we have to choose to let Jesus be our shepherd. Because conversely, just as we can choose to have us or to have him as our shepherd, we can also choose to be lost. But even though we possess that freedom and that rationality that the sheep don't have, we do have something in common with the sheep. We need to be led. We need to remember that we did not create ourselves and we did not choose to exist. God put each of us here on this earth individually. He wills for you to exist, and you're not here by accident or by circumstance. You're here because God put you here. He created you in his own image, and he created you for friendship with him. And we can only live this friendship with God if we freely choose to submit to him, because we would be nothing without God. Jesus himself says later in John's gospel, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And it's true. If we separate ourselves from Jesus, we become like sheep who are so vulnerable to danger, lost, isolated, destitute, impoverished. Truly, we become sheep without a shepherd. Jesus calls us to remain with him and remain in his love. And we do that by realizing that we really do need a shepherd, and then by making a choice daily to submit to him. We rely on the strength that he gives us, especially through prayer and the sacraments. And therefore, we worship and adore the Lord as the one who has set us free from turning in on ourselves, who has set us free from the slavery of sin and the idolatry of the world. He truly has set us free from those traps and snares by revealing himself to be our good shepherd, and therefore to be worthy of our total submission, especially by virtue of his resurrection from the dead. He is risen, and therefore he is worthy of all praise and adoration. And I say all of this to you on what is my last weekend with all of you as a transitional deacon. I just want to say to all of you, it has been an absolute honor to be with you for this past year, to witness your faith and have it inspire me so much. I really am so grateful that God put me here for the past year. I've learned so much from all of you, from Father Tyler, from Father Dan before him, from all the staff, and I just want to say thank you so much for the ways that you've formed me. Father Dan, on his last weekend here, he testified to and gave examples of the amazing things that God has done and that he is doing at this parish. And I want to echo what he said. Jesus Christ is alive and he is at work here at St. Mary's in Pinckney. You all are responding to him. I see it happening. You're living in relationship with him. You're pursuing holiness and you're bearing witness to him in your lives. You're responding to his promise of life, life to the full. And it really does inspire me so much. So if I can give you a parting word, it's this. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is our good shepherd. Always stay connected to him and always stay dependent on him, exactly like the sheep depend fully on their shepherd. Because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, he is our good shepherd, and he is worthy of all praise, adoration, and submission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.